name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some of you have said to me in the past, I can't wait till you actually preach a sermon on hellfire and brimstone. That's going to be fun to watch. Well, guess what? So before we begin, I want to point something out to you. I want you to pull this paper out and take a look at the reading for James. What do you notice about how it's set up for the reading? It goes from chapter 3, verses 13, through chapter 4, verses 3, and then jumps to 7. That usually has a very interesting connotation, and oftentimes it's not necessarily about what is in our readings, but about what's left out. Here's what's left out. So this begins just after the line in your reading that says, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. The very next word, adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us? But He gives all the more grace, therefore, it says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then we come to the verse 7, which says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The rest of this actually says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. I bring that up for a very specific point. Oftentimes, when you read something in the Gospels like we did today, where the disciples are arguing about who's greatest, it makes you want to laugh. And if we're honest, one of the first things we do is say, well, I wonder who is arguing about that, because we want to know. It's a seeking of fame. It's a seeking of fortune. And it's actually been a lot on my mind lately. The gospel talks about inviting children in, and one such as those, whoever we invite that is like that child, we have invited God. Going through the paper this morning, it was very interesting, and I brought this in. We're supposed to be servants of all. Yet the paper itself is full of, this actually cracks me up, unlawful police stop. IUI's the world's biggest problems, and it's about water sources, which is important. It's about climate change, which is also important. But there's no human connection in any of the things that they list. Down here on the bottom, volunteers pack bags in marathon session. Over 600 volunteers came to this to pack the bags. Over 600. You've got a how-to guide. This talks about everything. About how to raise your finances, how to buy shoes, how to do this, how to do that. It is all on a personal level. No humanity in the whole thing. Not one. Remember the bit about 600 volunteers to pack bags for the marathon? An article here, More Don's Hero's Cape Again. This is apparently a Baptist minister in Gary that held a meeting in basically the park because he wanted to do something about the crime rates that are raising and the loss of life that's happening in Gary as we speak. Do you know how many people came to that? Do you know how many people found that to be worthwhile? 60. 60 people. Our news is full of people that are full of themselves. our ideals in society are ideals that are full of ourselves. We've got the same-sex marriage. Do you know how much money has been spent on the same-sex marriage? Do you know how much this has co-opted our time? Do you understand that? Trillions upon trillions of dollars. We have the Black Lives Matter campaign. True, black lives do matter. That's not the right emphasis. All life matters. Everyone. Everyone. Black lives are included in that. But so is your life, your life, your life, your life. Everyone. Everyone is included in that. Here's the point. There was a gentleman that just posted a story on Facebook, and I really relate to it, and this is why this is stripping me so bad. This is a man that never had much to do with anybody that was homeless. Just passed him by and had this idea that homeless people are homeless not because they've lost everything, but because they want to be. So he tells this story. And this happened in Valpo. He says he walked out of Best Buy in Valpo and got into his car and happened to see a man that was leaning over a trash can, patiently taking out all the garbage, going through every single bag, pulling a few fries out, putting it on a dirty sandwich wrapper that he had taken from the garbage, pulling half a hamburger out, pulling bits and pieces out that he could feed himself and take care of the dog that was with him. The guy got in his car and left after watching him pull all his food out and then carefully clean up the whole area and put it back in, never asking anyone that passed by for a cent. Not a single cent, not a word of encouragement was ever given. And this guy gets in his car and leaves. And he makes it a quarter mile. He says he was convicted. He turned around and went back and introduced himself to the gentleman and said, "Can I buy you a hot meal?" Of course, the guy's ecstatic. They start to talk. He takes him over to McDonald's, gets him whatever he wants, gets the biggest meal he can find, he says. Of course, he devours it. He hasn't had a hot meal for quite a while. And as he talks, he knows this guy's name now. This guy's name is Steve. Steve is homeless with his dog because a few months ago, Steve lost his wife. Steve lost his house. Steve lost his job. He was trying to take care of his wife, and the medical bills piled up. He got fired because he missed too much work. This is not a man that does not want to work. This is not a man that wants to be homeless. It's a man that's doing what he has to survive. So they have this wonderful conversation, and the guy feels better about himself. And he leaves. After hearing Steve's story, he makes it almost a mile. And with tears in his eyes, he says he can't leave it like that. He goes back to Steve and says, "I want to buy you a bunch of meal vouchers so that you can get a hot meal when you need it. Would that be okay? Can I do that?" Steve was very thankful, and with tears in his eyes, he says, "That would be wonderful. That's more than anything anyone's ever done for him." Steve tells him a little bit more. Steve says he knows he's going to die soon. He pulls up his shirt and shows the gentleman a tumor growing out of his stomach. He says he's okay with that. He's tired of being tired. He's tired of being in pain. He's tired of looking for his next meal. He believed in God, and he was going to be happy to be reunited with his wife. Here's the real kicker. Steve turns to this gentleman and said, I prayed for you today. The guy didn't understand what that meant. He thought maybe that meant that Steve had prayed for him after he bought him the meal. So he asked about it. Steve said, no, you don't understand. I prayed to God that someone would come and give me a hot meal because I haven't had one in so long. And you were here. You stopped. You took care of me. You talked to me. You fed me. Tell me again what the point of the Christian life is. Is it Black Lives Matter? Is it the LGBTQ community matters? Is it climate change or the next football game that matters? Or is it all of us? It's not about social justice, people. It's about being Christian. It's about following our Lord and doing what he asks. It's about caring for the other. It's about sacrificing ourselves to lift others up. There's a system of priorities. Now, you ask any politician what their priority is, and it's going to be to win the election. Because then I can do real change. But if your priorities are skewed, you can't change anything. It took me a long time to learn that myself. And my priorities are God first, family second, work third. God first, family second, and work third. I actually find a little bit of pride in that. Here's the problem. I saw Steve. I saw him at Walmart. And I drove past. I was too busy. I was too caught up. And I failed. Want to know why confession is so important? Want to know why we say it before we have the Eucharist every week? Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That is why we say confession. We have the best intentions, but we fall. We fail. I'm no different. Just because I went to school and stand up here, just because I got this calling, I'm no different. Remember that. And the next time we see Steve, we need to stop. Amen.